Hello, and welcome to Bottom Line Success with Denise Vetterer, the podcast that guides successful business advisors and family business executives to be their very best. I'm your announcer, Emily Von Seido, and today we're going to talk about gender communication differences. Denise, one of your most popular blog posts is on the differences in how each gender communicates. In your post, you mentioned that women often feel excluded and isolated in board meetings. What are some examples of situations that women experience?
Actually, I had a very recent example of a woman that I coached at a Fortune 500 company, and she is the director of a huge division, vice president and director, and she was at a leadership meeting where they were discussing some very controversial approaches to how they wanted to move forward with their business plan. And she voiced her opinion, and she shared with me that she got absolutely no response. People didn't agree. People didn't disagree. They actually acted as if she hadn't even said anything. Where her colleague was sitting right next to her, a gentleman, reiterated what she said about 10 minutes later, and people were in awe of how brilliant his comments were. And she said he actually texted her, "Can you believe that just happened?" So he was even aware of it, that for some reason, when she expressed it, and most of the other people in that room, in fact, I believe all of the other people in that room were men. So without even being aware of it, her voice was discounted. And that was one of her goals, is how could she get her voice heard more effectively in these meetings, which really prompted me in many ways to write this actual blog.
That is a really profound example. It really highlights what women experience. Now, just to put all of this in perspective, why does it matter that women experience these situations? And in fact, why does it matter whether women are equally represented or not?
Well, I think that it matters that everybody who sits at a table in a business setting gets their voice heard, because hopefully each person is adding a contribution. But I think even further than that, I think the diversity in how men and women perceive situations and perspectives adds greatly both to the qualitative experience in a business setting and, as importantly, to the bottom line. And the research backs that up, that women have a great impact when they're in a leadership role on how a business and a corporation does. When men are interviewed on these experiences, they're fairly oblivious. It's not intentional to ignore women. It's just that it sort of becomes a pattern of behavior that a lot of people aren't even aware they're engaging in.
That's so interesting that men aren't even aware of it. Why do you think that is, that they don't even, it just doesn't even enter their mind?
I think there's always, you know, we tend to connect with people that we're more similar with. And also, men and women speak in a different voice. And that was in the blog as well. Men and women use different language. We've talked about intention. Women often communicate in a way that speaks to trying to have connections and interactions, where men are much more finite in their conversations. They're all about independence, and they're all about kind of making statements that sound very factual without looking for approval.
Exactly. Yeah, you said that men's goals and conversations tend to be maintaining the upper hand and achieving independence, whereas women want connection and closeness. Is one way better than another, or are they equal?
I really believe that there isn't one way that's better than another, but it's important that we open up our possibilities to be inclusive with both strategies. Some of the ways that men speak, though, just tend to exude more confidence and can be a little bit more powerful. They'll often use pronouns of I more often, where women will use we and us. And when men use the word I, it often makes women feel excluded from the conversation. Also, men tend to speak in absolutes. And again, all of these are generalizations, but men tend to speak in absolutes, where women find that at times very patronizing. And finally, I think that the way that women communicate often is in much more detail, where men often are looking for more of the big picture, so women can lose their male audience when they are too finite in details and not getting to the end point quickly enough.
That's actually really interesting because even as you're describing how men communicate using the pronoun I as opposed to we and getting right to the point, in my mind as I'm hearing that, I think, oh yeah, that sounds like someone who's a lot more absolute rather than talking about details and using the pronoun we. Do you think that society has just trained us to think that the way men communicate is absolute, or do you think that's something that we naturally feel?
Well, as a behavioral psychologist, I'm a firm believer that individually, we certainly come into this world genetically predisposed, but we are absolutely shaped and molded by our experiences, both family-wise and collectively in society. So I do think there's a great difference in socialization between men and women learn to respond a certain way, and men do as well. But, you know, when you look at all those comedy shows that we all think are so funny that express the difference between men and women, and books that are read, that are written, you know, clearly we all identify that men and women approach the world differently from a different viewpoint. I have someone who once summed it up is that, just tell me the time, don't build me a clock, in terms of how women and men communicate differently. And so I think as that women, want to communicate more effectively, have to be aware of, just as all people have to be aware of, how are they being perceived. It isn't just a gender issue. It's if I want to communicate effectively, it's not so much my intent that matters, but more how am I received.
Are there certain situations in which women's preferred or natural method of communication are more effective than how men tend to communicate, or vice versa?
Well, I certainly think I do a tremendous amount of work in the financial industry. And I think when people are talking about their money and sensitive issues that make them vulnerable, a female approach to communication can be often much more user friendly and allow people to open up more and speak in much greater depth. However, in a business setting where people are not as willing to risk being vulnerable, understanding the differences and how you want to communicate can be very powerful in getting your voice across and making sure your agenda is addressed.
Interesting. So if people are open to being vulnerable in a situation, then a woman's natural mode of communication tends to be more effective. That's really interesting.
That is certainly my take on it. And I just think you have to understand the environment that you're in and what the goals are.
Definitely.
And often you have to realize, too, when people are in business meetings, they're focused, busy, and ready to get on to the next event. So it's very different than having a leisurely conversation about the meaning of a particular topic.
Now, what about bargaining situations? Is there, because I know men and women tend to negotiate very differently, is there one situation in which one natural mode of communication makes more sense?
Well, I certainly think, and the research would bear this out, it's not that women aren't capable of bargaining effectively, but I do believe that women at times hedge on being more assertive for fear of being perceived as being too aggressive, and also coupled with their need for social approval, which women tend to seek that out more than men, it can be a bit of a handicap. But interestingly enough, as a rule, women don't really have a problem negotiating for someone else. It's when they need to negotiate or promote themselves or look for, an opportunity to advance their own cause that they're a little bit more uncomfortable.
That makes sense. And it's interesting you mentioned that women are afraid of being perceived as too aggressive. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that's an age-old issue that we've all been trying to tackle from this field for a while, is why is it when women communicate directly, they're seen as aggressive, and when men do it, they're seen as powerful? I don't have the final answer on that, and I do believe that has a lot to do with socialization and the need that people often have for women to communicate it themselves directly but non-aggressively. And I think that kind of leads into why sometimes women hold back in communicating directly what they want, hoping to get picked or noticed or rewarded due to their accomplishments without marketing themselves or informing people of what they want, where men seem to be much more comfortable with that. In layman's terms, we often say being more political in a work environment. And that is somewhere where women struggle and need to get more confident in how to communicate their needs personally and professionally of what they want and what their goals are. I mean, I'm obviously not pulling on any research or saying anything, but I think these are some of the obvious things that we observe, you know, in the work environment. But we could do something about it.
Definitely.
If you make a conscious decision, but you also have to have a comfortable style. I mean, you have to find a way to communicate in a style that speaks to your truth and who you are and what feels right for you.
You mentioned that women actually can be quite successful at negotiating for others. How is it that they're more successful, and why do you think that is?
Well, I think that, and again, these are generalizations, that women have a tremendous ability to be empathetic and understand what is important to other people, and have a way of communicating that can be non-threatening. So it doesn't mean you're weak if you're not aggressive or attacking someone, but in fact, by assessing what the person you're negotiating with needs and wants and picking up on the cues of what's important to them, that is a very effective way to get your point across and get what you need. So I think women can be very good at that in terms of assessing what other people want and need and how to accomplish their goals in that regard.
So just to wrap up here, what's one specific piece of advice for overcoming gender communication problems that women can take from this podcast and start implementing in the workplace tomorrow morning?
I think if you're a woman who believes you're struggling to have your voice heard in the workplace, I think you have to ask yourself, what can I do differently and what am I willing to do differently to embrace some strategies to empower myself? And I think the most important first step is looking at your own behavior to see if you're inadvertently sending a message that frustrates others or tends to get you excluded as a conversational partner, resulting in your voice not being heard. For example, when you look at voice quality and tone, I have noticed that often women who don't feel as confident will end their sentences in a question, which doesn't come across as confidently as they would like. Another woman that I work with, who's quite bright and quite talented, she thinks out loud. So all the processes that she's considering, the pros and cons, she'll say them out loud, giving people the implication that she is not confident, where really she's just going through a decision-making process that would be better left silent or in her head or with a close peer or thinking partner prior to attending a meeting. So I think being aware of who you are, what's your style, opening up to the possibility that some of the things you're saying may inadvertently cause you to be discounted, and then prioritizing the behaviors you want to engage in, being aware of your language and using powerful words and dropping qualifiers like perhaps or maybe, which allow you to sound more tentative, and then taking note of your tone, inflection, and body language. All the things that summarize a confident person who has something that we all need to stop and listen to. And finally, I think just be very aware of what your needs are. And if you want something, ask for it. If you want people's attention, you want to hold their attention, then you have to sort of pick up on the behavioral cues of whether or not you, in fact, have their attention. And if not, make the appropriate adjustments.
So it kind of all comes back to being self-aware and being aware of how others react to you.
Absolutely. That's it. You summed it up great.
So what about for men? Because we don't want to exclude them from this podcast. What's your advice for helping them communicate more effectively with women?
Again, and you've summed it up beautifully, being aware of your own behavior is the very first step in behavior change. And it's critical. So the number one thing I can ask men to do is, after listening to this podcast, say, have I fallen victim to some of these stereotypes, and have I discounted people whose content would be brilliant and advance my cause, but because of their style, I've sort of shut them down? And then take a moment to make that extra effort to hear what they're saying.
Excellent. That's great advice, both for men and for women. Well, that wraps up our podcast for today. Be sure to check out FedererPerformance.com to check out more of Denise's insightful blog posts, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.